we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are, coming to you live, but not quite dead yet. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. The talk show Hell Will Definitely Hate is today. Let me straighten out my American flag here. Good morning, everybody. I came in this morning. I woke up this morning feeling deathly. And we got in our vehicle, Sweetie Pie and I, and drove to the gas station to fill up this morning, and I thought, maybe I should go home. Maybe I should just go home, go to bed, and just bed down for today. And something wouldn't let me. I went through that in my mind several times on the way over here this morning. So when I got here, I laid down. I have a little couch, comfortable couch in my office, and I laid on the comfy couch, and I mean, I went out. And I don't know if it's weather, we have weather changing, the season's changing, whatever. But it's just eating me up today. But I lay down for quite a while. I feel a little bit better today. And it's not surprising me considering today's topic. And we're going to look at the legitimacy of child sacrifice, child trafficking, the attack on baby human beings is very real. It is very real, and there are things in the Bible that speak concerning that. Jesus himself, and this just came into my mind, this just in from the Holy Spirit, Mike, tell him about what Jesus said. Okay, I'll do that. Because I'm looking through the scriptures for verses related to sacrifice or, you know, their infants or things like that. And I had this thing in the back of my mind, remember what Jesus said. And here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 14. Let me back up, give you the context. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Now, this is not a Joe Biden touch. This is not. And I've shown this video. You look at Joe Biden. He always takes pictures with these senators that he swears in or at, these new senators or whatever. He swears people in, and then there's a photo opportunity with this man and his family, or this woman and her family. And he always grabs the girls, always grabs their daughters in every situation, grabbing their daughters, and he pulls them into him, and he's all over them. There is a case that is being brought to light. I mentioned it here a couple months ago. A case is now being brought to light. Somebody went looking for the Secret Service records of a situation that happened where a White House Christmas party was canceled because of Creepy Joe. And apparently it wasn't just one Secret Service agent's girlfriend and or wife. It was multiples of them. He invites Secret Service agents in, throws a big Christmas party at the White House. So, I mean, who's not going to go to the White House, right, for a Christmas party? So Joe Biden's hosting it, and during the course of the Christmas parties, when he's vice president, he's going around touching women. And I mean, not just shaking hands, putting her arm around for a photo op. He's grabbing things on these women. And one Secret Service agent watched Joe Biden cup his hand on this Secret Service agent's girlfriend. And he tore into him. They had to pull him off of Joe. And so it may be Tom Fitton, but somebody went looking for the Secret Service records for that night and was told that those records were destroyed. Now, to me, that's illegal, I think, to destroy records that would literally belong to the people of the United States of America, like Hillary Clinton deleting 33,000 emails. That's illegal. But somebody's bringing this up, saying this guy has more than one problem other than drooling and not being able to answer any questions. He's got a serious, serious issue. So there's no doubt this goes on. In fact, I've got a document here. And if I remember right, somebody remind me to post this as a PDF on our sermon audio page, which will be linked to this broadcast. And your eyes, it will make you understand the seriousness of what's going on in this country. And let me get to a couple of other things that have happened in the last few days that I just kind of wanted to bring as an update. There have been, let's see here. Oh, this story here, I wanted to look at. So in California and in leftist-leaning states, states who are run by Democrats, liberal Democrats, you can't go to church. How dare you want to go to church? So it's been going on in California, and I think John MacArthur's church is now, you know, kind of reaching out to the public saying, hey, help us out here. We got to pay lawyers' bills. We got to pay these fines. And, you know, help us out. So, and I'm not necessarily opposed to that. In this situation, because of the ramifications of what it represents to us as Bible-believing Christians, I am 100% in support of John MacArthur and every other church's fight against the state of California for their right, their absolute constitutional right to go and assemble freely. See, we're not just talking about the freedom of religion in this country. We're talking about the right to assemble peacefully in this country. Those rights are not to be abridged. We are not to be alienated from those rights. Those rights cannot be alienated against us or from us. They cannot, under any circumstance, be taken away from us. Period. Now, I understand governor's ability to, you know, enact states of emergency, things like that. I get that for the greater good, but this is nonsense. The reports over the weekend in St. Louis City for COVID deaths, zero. St. Louis County, zero. St. Charles County, a big, big county in the greater St. Louis area, zero. Jefferson County, zero. St. Francis County, down south of us, zero. So why did I go to IKEA with Sweetie Pie Friday? And I had on a hat and a mask. And both of them were favoring a particular political candidate. You just pick one. But I wear them just south of my nostrils because I have a hard time breathing anyway, especially out of my nose. And so, and it fogs up my glasses. I can't see. So, a manager or somebody comes out of an office at IKEA. They have a big shop here in St. Louis, And I just don't like going up there anyway. It's like liberal city, and I was just like spotting the lesbian couples and everything else. And this gal walks out of an office, and I just don't make eye contact with her at all. I couldn't care less who she is or what part of that building she owned. I couldn't care. And she walks out, walks past me and says, "Sir, you need to put that over your nose." So I'm aggravated. Then she walks three steps, turns around, and stares at me. Now, again, I'm not making eye contact with her, but I can see her out of the corner of my eye standing there like my kindergarten teacher. Put that over your nose. Waiting, like my mother standing over me. I'm going to watch you until you do this. So I just very slowly pulled the mask in ultra slow motion over my nostrils. And she watched until my arm dropped down. Then she turned around. Stupid! Ridiculous! Yes! It just gets me. Should be a law against it. There should be a law against it. I'm telling you. I know. That's what I'm saying. So now, Seattle. Seattle bans Christians from worshiping in park. But then God intervened. City of Seattle shut down a local park in advance of a massive gathering of Christian worshipers. The right to assemble. The right to religion. Christians were banned from the park, but not Black Lives Matter or Antifa. Let that sink in, folks. This is extraordinary. Seattle denies Christians permit to worship peacefully and then puts up fences to block them, but allows for outdoor protests and camps. Senator Josh Hawley, 8, Missouri. Yes, I love that guy. So instead of canceling the event, the Christians simply relocated the service to the street and called it a worship protest. Brilliant. The worship protest also angered at least one Antifa member who noted, "The more I yell, the more blankety blankety fun they have." Thousands of Christians sang together, "Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God." Because you know they sang that song 48 times. As they stood in the streets atop nearby buildings, the city of Seattle acknowledged that parks provide critical physical and mental health supports to our community and reiterated their policy guidelines for facilitating First Amendment gatherings, but still chose to temporarily shut down the entire park rather than risk Christians gathering for an open-air worship service. Organizer Chris wrote on Facebook. How do you pronounce Chris Fielcht? That's his name. I guess it's the pronunciation. Television station KING, King, says local leaders did not explain why they chose to close the park, but the city issued a statementing. That's a new one. The city issued a statementing. You know, some reporters don't really earn their degree. You understand that, right? Issued a statementing that they do not, quote, allow unpermitted public events to take place in Seattle parks and ask the public to continue to adhere to current public health guidelines because no one's dying. This is for politics only. Politics only. And, well, I don't want to get into that today. But that's just the story that came up, and I wanted to share that with everybody. And again, you know, what church was this? I don't really care, because lost people don't see the difference. They do not see the difference. They don't understand the difference. Now, the difference between a liberal church that would, more than likely, their sermon would include things about social justice. Okay? Let me tell you, the Bible preaches social justice issues. Equity in the law, the fact that all nations are equal in the eyes of God, all nations are capable of being saved in the eyes of God. God abhors slavery, and yet he tells you how to live if you are in slavery or bondage. I mean, there's just all kinds of wonderful things that the Bible says. You know, in aid to those who are in bondage and against holding people in bondage. You know, I understand that there are laws regarding, you know, servitude in the Old Testament, and believe it or not, that's part of justice. If you owe a bill, pay it. And at least in the Old Testament laws, if you owed a bill and couldn't pay it, then you had a right to work it off. And God told the Israelites, you don't treat your brothers unequally. Anyway, let's move on. And let me read a story today that came out. I don't know who posted this. Legislative leader blocked a bill. Let me put it on the screen. Days after Democrat colleague resigned over child abuse allegations. Maine Democrat Senate candidate Sarah Gideon killed an anti-child abuse bill backed by health officials just days after a Democratic legislator resigned for allegedly having fornicative relationships with high school girls. Gideon, who has served as Speaker of the Maine House of Representatives since 2016, mobilized her caucus to vote against legislation that would have attached criminal penalties to those who knowingly fail to report child abuse. I am a, what's the word for it? I've been asleep all morning. I am a mandatory reporter. Let me explain what that means. And these laws were changed. It used to be that there was a protection for those who were clergymen because of the Roman Catholic, where you go confess your sins to the priest. And a lot of times children or abusers, child abusers, were confessing those to priests, and priests weren't saying anything about it. In fact, some of the priests joined in. But anyway, they would confess that they had done things to a child, and the priest would keep that in, supposedly, and he could not be ordered to testify that before the court. And the laws have changed now, and there is a law about mandatory reporting. And I, as a clergyman, I'm a mandatory reporter, and I have on a few occasions, not that anybody has told me I do this, but I've had guys come in my office say, I need to talk to you for a minute, and if I had a suspicion that it might go in that direction, I would say to them, before you say anything else, I want you to understand, I'm a mandatory reporter. If you tell me that you have, you know, harmed a child in any way, I have to pick up the phone, or I'll go to prison. And I've never really had a situation where somebody said, well, then I can't talk to you, okay? And usually it was just, it's just a way of me telling people, you know, what you tell me in here, it depends on what you say. But there have been situations where I have picked up the phone because I have been, was told about certain situations of child abuse, and I call and I say I'm a mandatory reporter, which means I cannot phone it in anonymously. I can't do it. I have to attach my name to it. So anyway, just to explain to you how the law works in this country, that basically shut down, and I don't know if there's been any situations where priests were forced to testify in a court of law, but a Catholic priest, if he hears it in the confessional, he must report it. Now, if he's a sleazy Catholic priest, you know what's going to happen. Anyway, Just 10 days after the August 30th, 2018 vote, Democratic legislature, this is where I am right here, Dylan Bates resigned after allegations surfaced he had fornication with multiple high school students that he taught. Former Maine legislator Deborah Sanderson said it was the height of hypocrisy for Gideon to kill child abuse legislation at a time when she also had to contend with an alleged child offender in her caucus. You can't say you care about children and at the same time not be willing to put in stricter and stronger regulations for someone who knowingly or intentionally does not report child abuse, Sanderson said. Not only are the people who don't report culpable, but those who wouldn't pass that legislation are culpable. That's exactly what... Wrong one. That's exactly what I have been saying. In fact, let me give you Bible on that. You know, I don't think I ever read this verse. They brought young children to him that he should touch them and bless them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought, excuse us, this is an important man. This is the master of, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He can't, don't bring those children to him. And Jesus was much displeased, ticked off. It's a 21st century term for it. Much displeased means he was ticked off. Peter, stop it. He said unto them, suffer, allow. That's what the word suffer means. The phrase suffrage was about allowing women to vote. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now, think of that phrase, what he said, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And there's several ways of looking at this. Number one, it is best for children to receive the blessing of salvation early on in life. It will prevent a lot of heartache in the future, in that child's future. A lot of it. Not all of it. Humans are still humans. Children grow up to be adults, and they do adult things. Okay? But there is an innocency about children that is lost in the coming years, and they need to be saved as early as possible. Now, some say, well, my child was saved when he was 3. I'm not sure about that. My theory is that it goes along with Adam and Eve. Once Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, immediately their eyes were opened and they recognized they were naked. Children who walk around naked have an innocency about that, and we think that's cute, okay? In a serious, moral sort of way, we think that's cute, the child running around naked. The child couldn't care less. The child does not have a comprehension of his own nudity. But at some point, a child reaches an age where he doesn't just run around the house with no clothes on. He or she puts clothes on. They, before they come out of the bathroom, they dress themselves. Even if it's just in underwear, they still cover themselves. And I think it's about that time that their eyes have been opened now to the world of sin. Now they understand, because sin is always linked with nudity in the Bible. Always. And you can see the downfall of Saul when he's preaching naked. Yep, you go look it up. So anyway, that's my thing. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. So it's best that they are saved at an early age. Number two. Philosophically, thought-wise, to receive the kingdom of God as a little child essentially means that we have a simple faith. Children believe in Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, things like that. without any evidence whatsoever. I never saw Santa Claus one time in my house, ever, ever, ever. But I believed in it. And my mom used to put up this fake cardboard fireplace, because the house we lived in when I was little didn't have a fireplace. So we'd put up this fake cardboard fireplace with a light and a little aluminum thing that spun around because of the heat from the light, and it made it look like the fire was glowing. Okay? And I don't remember if I asked my sister, but I was thinking about it, may have asked her, how does Santa Claus come in our chimney? How does he come through our fireplace when it's, I saw Mom put it up, it's fake. And I didn't question whether Santa Claus is real or not. And then I wanted to know, how could he wrap the presents in the living room and we didn't hear it? Because, you know, when I watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all the toys were not wrapped. So I'm thinking, he wraps them in the house, but, you know, that paper's loud. How does he... what I'm saying is, I never doubted Santa Claus. Never did. And my mother never sat down. My mother and father and nobody ever sat down with me and showed me the story of Santa Claus and say, now, believe. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe it. It's automatic. And parents and grandparents, you know, don't get so unwound over a little child believing in Santa Claus. Don't just go loose on them. That's evil. I mean, I get it. It's that if we're going to celebrate that day, let it be about Christ. But a child doesn't think the way we do. Understand that. And yeah, I do see that it's, you know, right to sit them down and show them from the scripture what, you know, Christmas is all about if you're going to do Christmas and say, you know, Santa Claus isn't real. But don't just come unwound on them, all right? But anyway, because they're going to believe things and they don't need any evidence whatsoever. That's the point of this. Is that we accept the kingdom of God with a child innocence about us and a simple faith. We have no evidence whatsoever, but we believe in it. Then, God always supplies the evidence. The evidence is the total sum of my life and all the things that God has done. There, I'm telling you, God is a miracle-working God, and His works in my life have been an absolute miracle. For me to believe the King James Bible is the absolute inerrant word of God did not stem from me and my simplistic belief. God gave it to me, and I did accept it with no evidence whatsoever, but I didn't concoct it in my mind. God gave it to me, and so I believe it. So anyway, there's that aspect of it. Then, the idea of being born again. Look at that verse. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a what? Little child, he shall not enter therein. Ye must be born again. And that, my friends, is a little child. All right, now, listen, where was I going to go after that? Oh, Romans, about those, and I will say this, those, you don't have to commit the sin of abortion to be guilty of the murder of abortion. You don't have to actually tear the baby's body parts in pieces and throw them in a trash can. You don't have to own an abortion mill to be guilty of it. You're guilty of it by your favoring of the people. And I'll read that to you from Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all... This is the list of 23 things. 23 is the number 4, death. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you're going to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the two people who are on record as absolutely voting yes on every pro-abortion bill, voting no on every anti-abortion bill, and for favoring or actually voting to place Supreme Court judges who they know favor abortion. How did Joe Biden get his power? How did Kamala Harris get her power? Were they born into it like in England? You know, you're born a senator, you're born a king, you're born a queen. No, they were voted on. People elected them. People elected them knowing that they're going to vote pro-sodomite, they're going to vote pro-abortion, they're going to do it every single time. They're not going to waver, they're not going to back down, they're not going to change their mind. They're going to do this. So this article, according to Romans 1:32, is absolutely dead on. Said it's the height of hypocrisy. Former Maine legislator Deborah Sanderson said it was the height of hypocrisy for Gideon to kill child abuse legislation at a time when she also had to contend with an alleged child offender in her caucus. You can't say you care about children and at the same time not be willing to put in stricter and stronger regulations for someone who knowingly or intentionally does not report child abuse. Not only are the people who don't report culpable, but those who wouldn't pass that legislation are culpable. And according to Romans 1:32, she is absolutely right in that statement. 100% right. Now, here is, let me get this document out of here. This was posted, and I'm not going to tell you where I found it, and not some nasty site. But I checked it out. I don't just accept everything that rolls over the internet. Even if it supports something that I stand for. I don't just, oh, it's on the internet, it's true. I saw this on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel that I follow. The guy is an absolute atheist. He is an absolute moronic atheist. But he's really good at one thing. He's really good at debunking videos on YouTube. We fall for what we see. And remember what Deuteronomy 13 said. A guy comes along prophesying signs and wonders, and the sign or wonder come to pass. And he said, let's go after these other gods. And God said, you're going to do it. You're going to fall for it every time. And God said, I sent that guy. Remember, Babylon is a golden cup in the Lord's hands. God said, I sent him to prove you whether you're going to believe the written word of God or you're going to believe what your eyes see. We walk by faith, not by... That's why I don't show you very much... I started out, Pastor Mike Online, years ago, showing you a UFO clip. And I quit doing it. Because I couldn't find any that I couldn't say that's fake. Or that I couldn't find anything, UFO videos, that absolutely convinced me that UFOs are real. And that the video could not be a fake. Because just about anything now, when it comes to video, is possible. New techniques in video compositing, graphics, computer graphics, the realism. 1993 was groundbreaking when Jurassic Park came out. And now, the computer-generated images of dinosaurs now in the Jurassic Park series is far more convincing than it was back in 1993. And it doesn't take state-of-the-art, multi-million-dollar facilities to do it. You can download Blender. It is a free software. And what it does is you can create images that look authentic. They look real. Then they have deep fakes, computer-generated fake videos of Barack Obama saying things that Barack Obama never said. Never said them. So now we're living in that age. And again, this stuff, you can get the software. You can get Blender for free. You can get DaVinci Resolve, which is a very sophisticated video editing platform, absolutely free. Anybody who has the time, the skills, you can buy stuff on the internet. You can buy, I don't create things, but I can buy things that have been created and composite them together. That's easy to do. And there's videos that I've watched and I'm going, wow, that was pretty cool. Lightning striking a car and parts of it flying up in the air, right? 100% fake. I fell for it. I thought that's real. Where was I going with this? Oh, anyway. I chased too many rabbits. I got to read this. Anyway, I just don't believe everything I read or see on the internet. But this, I checked out. I started typing in the names. And these are real events. I have a list here that was released last week of why things in this country have turned out the way they are. Why our politicians are not doing and working for the people. If we believe in conspiracies, and yes, I do, and the Bible details them, the ones that I believe in strongest are the ones that I can see plainly in scriptures. There is a conspiracy of her prophets, the Bible says, and I believe that, absolutely. There's also a conspiracy among power brokers, in not just in this country, but in the world. And when you understand that even though we elect people to represent us, the fact that they don't represent us, the fact that they don't listen to us, the fact that they don't do what we ask them or demand them to do, should tell you that they are working for somebody else. I've been voting for politicians since 1984. I turned 18 in 84, and I couldn't wait to vote for Ronald Reagan. Just couldn't wait. So I voted for him. And needless to say, his second term was not as good as his first term. Still a good president. But he got corrupted fairly quickly. He got corrupted almost instantly when he brought in George Bush to be his VP. He hated George Bush. Anyway, but I've been voting for politicians for years and been greatly disappointed. It just seems like they don't get anything done that we demand that they do. But we keep voting for them anyway. Well, it's possible that there's a reason why. Democratic Illinois State Representative Keith Farnum has resigned and was charged with possession of child pornography and has been accused of bragging at an online site about molesting a six-year-old girl. True story. I looked it up. Democratic spokesperson for the Arkansas Democratic Party, Harold Moody Jr., was charged with distribution and possession of CP. CP stands for child porn. And I just don't like saying some of these words. So, Democratic Radnor Township Board of Commissioners member, Philip R., AHR, resigned from his position after being charged with possession of CP and abusing children between 2 and 6 years old. Democratic activist and BLM, Black Lives Matter organizer Charles Wade, was arrested and charged with human trafficking and underage prostitution. Human trafficking. Let me read that again. Democratic activist and Black Lives Matter organizer Charles Wade was arrested and charged with human trafficking and underage prostitution. You have to ask the question, is there a reason why these people want to overthrow the government of the United States of America and replace the Constitution with anarchy or communism? Always is. There is always a reason. There's always a motivation behind why people do what they do. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Your motivation, what drives you to do what you do? is very important. And when you get into the surface, you get under the surface. Do black lives matter? That statement, yes. Yes, they do. And I'm 100% against slavery. I'm 100% against racism. 100% against any kind of treating people in a wrongful manner simply because of the race that they come from. And if you think it's impossible for a black person to be a racist, Charles Wade is. Because these, I watched something on Twitter yesterday, a black woman who had a conference room full of white people. She was a BLM activist. And she said, I'm going to say some things to all y'all white people here that you're not going to like, but it's true. You white people are born non-human. And you're immediately, if you are white, you are racist, and that's all there is to it. The end of story. She said that. So, where's the racism here? Was it in the white people who voluntarily decided to attend her speech showing that they are in favor of her cause? Is that racism? No. The racism came from the woman who said those words. All white people are racist. That's a racist comment. It stereotypes all white people into a little confined box that if your skin color is bright or white or anything other than brown, yellow, red, or black, then automatically you are a racist and your skin color tells that. Not what goes on in your mind. She's a racist. No doubt about it. But understand why. There's a little town in New Hampshire called Keene. Keene, New Hampshire. There's a website called FreeKeene.com. FreeKeene. And it's got a group of anarchist activists in it, probably because there's a university in that town. There's a group of anarchist activists in that town that have been operating, and they have been terrorizing that town for the last 10, 20 years. And you go to YouTube and you look this up, and you'll see that they have recorded these people voluntarily break the law. And then they get the courts to allow their court hearing to be videotaped by one of their people. And their argument, they are a, what am I thinking of? They are, boy, I'm slow today. They don't believe that they follow, that they're under the laws of the Constitution. They are sovereign citizens. That's what I was thinking of. They believe that there is no such thing as territorial laws. That because I'm standing on this particular part on the map does not necessarily mean that I must abide by the laws of this particular territorial point on the map. That's what they believe. What makes me under the laws of the state of Missouri? I'm in the state of Missouri. If I go to Illinois and I carry my gun on my side, they will arrest me because it is illegal in the state of Illinois. But I can say, but I'm from Missouri, so that law doesn't apply to me. Too bad. You came to Illinois carrying a gun, showing a gun, you're going to get arrested. You are then under the jurisdiction of the state of Illinois. And they don't believe that. And there's one video where the judge, I mean, just blew a gasket because he's got a guy on through Skype or something like that trying to argue with his judge, proving that he has jurisdiction over the guy in his courtroom. And he says, you haven't proved jurisdiction. And what he wants the judge to say is, because he's in the state of New Hampshire, he's under that jurisdiction. And those people don't believe that. And you have to ask, why did they come up with such bizarre ideas? Well, the reason became apparent, because the ringleader of this group, I forget his name, the ringleader of this group was charged with possession of CP and drugs. So, why do they want an anarchist country? Why do people want certain laws to not be passed or certain laws to be passed? Why do they want to overthrow everything? It's so that they can sin and break moral laws with no consequence whatsoever. It's the idea that I can do what I want without someone hindering me. And I can do what I want to whoever I want with no consequences. It's sickening. Democratic Texas attorney and activist Mark Benavides was charged with fornicating with a minor, including a child under 18, to compelling prostitution of at least 9 legal clients and possession of CP. He was found guilty on 6 counts of trafficking. Let me put this verse up on the screen. Twice now. BLM activist Charles Wade charged with human trafficking. Texas Democratic attorney and activist Mark Benavides. Human child trafficking. Here is Mystery Babylon. The Bible says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. One thing about Babylon. She loves the carnal desires of this world, and she loves merchandise. And people, there is a legitimate case to be made in Scripture for the fact that Lucifer loves gold and silver and expensive things. He loves merchandise and trafficking. That's Ezekiel 28. Go read it. But here, and I'm 100% in favor of capitalism. But there is a greed that arises, and it doesn't matter if you're communist or capitalist. There's always greed. Why do communist governments favor communist governments? It's because they understand the greed. A communist government literally steals everything within that nation's territory and keeps it for itself. And the politicians live high on the hog while the people suffer. So it's all about greed. It's all about grabbing the stuff. And here's that spirit is Mystery Babylon. And notice there's a list of 28 things here. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. What did Peter say about the false prophets? That they, through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. The buying and selling of religion and religious favors in this country stinks to God. Because God made the gospel free. Is why we refuse to sell anything other than the Bigfoot soap that we had for the homecoming. And, you know. But when it comes to the words that I say, they're free. Okay? Free of charge. And I'm working on a project now. It's probably going to take me several years to accomplish it. When I'm done with it, I have to make a decision. Am I going to sell this? Am I going to keep doing what I'm doing and just give it away? I don't know yet. I have to pray about it. But for the majority of everything that we do here, God dealt with me years ago about making it for free. So why does everybody else want to sell their stuff? God gave me this. God showed me this. And you must have it. This is essential for your salvation. And yet it's going to cost you $60. You have to think about that. Anyway, they're dealing with trafficking children, people. They're trafficking children. And this is a huge thing going on in our country. Let me read some more. Democratic former mayor of Hubbard, Ohio, Richard Keenan, was given a life sentence in jail for raping a 4-year-old girl. Democratic former mayor of Winston, Oregon, Kenneth Barrett, was arrested for setting up a meeting with a 14-year-old girl who turned out to be a police officer. It was a sting operation. Democrat, and these people who run these stings will tell you that they see all kinds of people, politicians, police officers, businessmen, priests, preachers, church members, Sunday school teachers, high school teachers, middle school teachers, school principals, you name it. They see all kinds of people that they arrest in these operations. Democratic former mayor of Randolph, Nebraska, Duane L. Shute. Democratic former mayor of Dawson, Georgia, Christopher Wright. And all of these deal with either trafficking or abuse or CP. All of these. Democratic former mayor of Stockton, California, Anthony Silva, was charged with providing alcohol to young adults during a game of poker. You can guess what they were playing with. Not chips, not money. That included a 16-year-old boy at a camp for underprivileged children run by the mayor. Democratic former mayor of Millbrook, New York, Donald Briggs, was arrested and charged with inappropriate contact of a person younger than 17. And the list goes on. Democratic Alaskan State Representative Dean Westlake resigned from his seat after the media published a report alleging he fathered a child with a 16-year-old girl. And you're saying, yeah, it's those Democrats because they don't believe in God. The Republicans, yeah, right on. Republican County Commissioner David Schwartz pleaded guilty. Molesting two girls, 8 years in prison. Republican Judge Mark Pazuhanich pleaded no contest. 10-year-old girl. The Republican anti-abortion activist Nicholas Morency pleaded guilty to possessing CP on his computer and offering a bounty to anybody who murders an abortion doctor. Republican Tim Nolan, chairman of Donald Trump's presidential campaign in Kentucky, pled guilty to child trafficking. Not just looking at stuff on the internet. He was part of a child trafficking ring. And he was sentenced to serve 20 years in prison. He was found guilty on February 11th, 2018. 20 years in prison. Republican. Republican State Senator Ralph Shorty was indicted on 4 counts of human trafficking and CP. In November 2017, he pleaded guilty to 1 count of child trafficking in exchange for the dropping of the other charges. Now, let me... somebody tweeted this the other day, or yesterday, and I thought, dead on. This is dead on. There we go. Let me put that up on the screen for you. Hang on a second. I've got to push some buttons to make the magic of illusion. Anyway, this is Wandering Camya. She said, you know, ever since Ghislaine Maxwell, you know who that is, right? Okay? Epstein's handler. She was Jordan Maxwell's daughter. Jordan Maxwell, British publishing tycoon, who was also a spy for the Mossad, and we think that Maxwell also works for Mossad. She was getting the girls for Epstein. Now, to get the girls, you have to have an organization. You just can't just go to Walmart and buy them. Okay, you have to have an organization. And Maxwell set up an organization where she would get girls that she trusted who had been with Epstein, and then she would get them to recruit others. Say, you got to massage this old guy for $200. It's easy. They weren't told anything else. And once they got there, okay, but Ghislaine Maxwell was in contact, had to have been in contact with other child traffickers. Had to have been. So, ever since Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested, child trafficking arrests have been on a roll in America. Child trafficking is important because it's the fastest growing criminal enterprise. It's also tied to the entire left cabal, the Clintons, and not just the left. It's also in the right wing. Now, the issue is, how is it? Hang on a second. Let me get rid of that. How is it then that all these politicians, when they get in office, they don't do what we demand them to do? It's because of things like this. They get owned. They get owned. There's a movie that I watched. I can't remember the name of it. I'm slow today. But it's a true story. A woman who worked for the British, I guess the British version of the NSA. Back after 9/11. And I think she's called General Headquarters, HQ. But anyway, she works for them, and she is an analyst. She sits at a computer desk in a big room with a bunch of other people, and they listen in on conversations that are held between people around the world. Anything that their computer flags, say, hey, they use these words, then these people in these cubicles sit and listen then to the conversation, whether it's a phone conversation, a Skype transmission, text messages, emails, things like that. That's her job, is to supposedly protect Great Britain from another World War II type scenario. So now Bush is promoting this war against Iraq because Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. You remember that? Did they have any? No. Bush was pushing Colin Powell. He was pushing former Missouri Governor John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General at the time. He laid the pressure down on these men and saying, we are going to go to war in Iraq, regardless. But you're going to make it legal for us to do it. Because it's illegal for just the president to declare war. Now that we're part of the United Nations, the UN Security Council has to approve any military action against another country, or it's illegal in the eyes of the UN, and there could be sanctions. So, Bush wants to look good on camera, not having a dirty, illegal war on his hands, even though they didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. And all of a sudden now, this gal working in the British version of the NSA gets an email from one of her superiors, but it's a forwarded email from a man who works for the NSA in America. And it says, the UN Security Council is going to vote on this war. We want the vote to go our way. Here are the names and the nations of the people on the UN Security Council. We want you to dig up everything you can on these men, and we'll use that to pressure them to vote our way. It is a true story. It is an absolute true story. So, she reads this email. She's married to a guy from the Middle East. She's a British national. She's born in Great Britain. But she reads this email and she's going, this is wrong. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be protecting Great Britain. Why are we approving a phony war? If this war is legitimate, why do we have to dig up dirt on these UN reps in order to get the vote approved? If this is a legitimate war, then we shouldn't need this. So she prints out a copy of the email, which she's now violated her contract. She's violated British law. And she hides it on herself. She leaves and she gives it to an anti-war activist who then turns it over to a newspaper guy whose newspaper eventually, after they are sure that the email's legit, they publish the email and the contents of it. Okay? She was arrested and went on the day that they were supposed to begin her trial. The Crown prosecutor stood up and said, my lord, not your honor, my lord, the judge, who's, they all wear wigs, my lord, the Crown wishes to drop all charges against this woman. And the judge is furious, like, what are you doing? She admitted to it. But, my lord, we do not have the evidence. And what it was, they didn't want all of this dirt brought back up again, so they dropped the charges and the woman walks free. True story. Do you think that politicians get owned? Absolutely. Let me read some more here. Republican pastor Mike Hintz whom George W. Bush commended during the 2004 presidential campaign, surrendered to police after admitting an affair with a female juvenile. Republican legislator Peter Dibble pleaded no contest to having an inappropriate relationship with a 13-year-old girl. Republican Congressman Donald Buzz Lukens found guilty of being with a female minor, sentenced to 1 month in jail. 1 month in jail. Republican there's a bill that they want passed in California now that I don't quite know the exacts of it, but basically it will eliminate any kind of judicial penalty for having fornication with an underage girl if the person's age is not above 10 years of the girl. In other words, if it's a 13-year-old girl and a 20-year-old man, he can't go to jail for that. So what you've done is legalized. You've legalized it. You've legalized fornication with a child. If they're not 10 years older than the person that they molested, then it's okay. That's California for you. Let's see here. Republican activist Randall David Ankeny pleaded guilty to attempted assault on a child. Republican activist Mark Greffin convicted on 6 counts involving children. Republican Congressman Dan Crane, fornication with a female minor working as a congressional page. Republican activist and Christian coalition leader Beverly Russell admitted to an incestuous relationship with his stepdaughter. Yeah, Beverly's a guy's name, apparently. Republican congressman and anti-gay activist Robert Bauman was charged with having fornication with a 16-year-old boy picked up at a gay bar. Republican committee chairman Jeffrey Patty was arrested for distributing a video clip. I'm not even going to read that. Republican activist Marty Glickman, a.k.a. Republican Marty, was taken into custody by Florida police on 4 counts of unlawful activity with an underage girl, 1 count of delivering the drug LSD. Jerry Falwell Jr., not anything child-related that I know of, but he's sleazy dirty. Sleazy dirty. Republican director of the Young Republican Federation, Nicholas Elizondo, molested his 6-year-old daughter, was sentenced to 6 years in prison. Republican benefactor of conservative Christian groups, Richard A. Dazen Sr., was charged with rape for allegedly paying a 15-year-old girl. Dazen, age 62, who is married with grown children, several grandchildren, has allegedly told police that over the past decade he paid more than $1 million. $1 million to be able to be with young women. Young. Democratic donor and billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. Democratic New York Congressman Anthony Weiner pled guilty to transferring obscene material to a minor. And they still have his laptop with all the Hillary Clinton stuff on there, including a very, very, very extremely, extremely disturbing, very satanic video. Allegedly with Hillary Clinton on it. Very. Now, this list, I don't know who's, all right, allegedly, well, that, here's what I'm going to bring up. By the way, this list, when I saw it posted, I copied and pasted the contents onto a Word document. And then I just itemized each of the posts because I wanted to know how many. Because this is a large list, and I guarantee you it's not exhaustive. In other words, it doesn't include... These are just things in the last, let's say, 10 years. Maybe goes beyond that, but let's just say in the last 10 years, most of these last 10 years. I wanted the number. And I have this is a list of exactly 90 Democrat and Republican politicians, county commissioners, county executives, state legislators, national, federal legislators, judges, moral majority leaders, people like that, charged, officially charged, not just accused, but officially charged and or convicted. 90 is in that list. Now, the list does lean conservative because there are more Democrats on this list than Republicans. That doesn't mean that if you're a Republican or a conservative or you call yourself a Christian, that you can't be guilty of it. And you know what? It's entirely possible that someone listening to me right now is or has been guilty of it. It's entirely possible. This issue is one of the biggest issues that our country deals with. The slaughter and the abuse of children is absolutely abhorrent in the eyes of God. Jesus said, if you ever hurt one of these little ones, it would be better for you to have a millstone hung about your neck. And you know what? Here's what's interesting. Because you know what he said, right? He said, if you ever do this, let me read the verse. Matthew 18:6. Well, whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that it were drowned in the depth of the sea. Mark 9:42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Luke 17:2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea. You know what Jeremiah did? The copy of the prophecies that he made against Babylon. Do you know what he was told to do with it? Let me read it to you. Let me put it up on the screen for you. Verse 60, so Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it should be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it in the midst of Euphrates. Very, very similar. Very similar to what Jesus said. And if we look in Revelation 18, verse 21, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Bum, bum, bum! Look at that. Now, God is a forgiving God, and you ought to be very thankful for that. You ought to be very thankful for that. But He can turn you over to a reprobate mind. You know what? Let me undo that, because not all of that. You need to see the words. This is a video interview of a man by the name of Ronald Bernard. Ronald Bernard is from Holland, and he was in the banking industry. And Ronald Bernard, I've watched several interviews of him, several speeches he's made and so on since he came out with this interview. I think it's this in 2018. So I just learned a little bit. I wanted to know if this guy wasn't some kook somewhere that just made believe this stuff. Yes, I do check things out. I try to make sure I'm not following some kind of idiot online. And he's given several speeches, given several interviews widely acclaimed interviews. And he talks a little bit about his background. His parents were from the World War II era, and he was abused badly as a child. It's a very, 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 very chaotic home. So then, I guess, I don't know who was in charge, thought to put him into a boys' home run by the Catholic Church. And you know what he said? He said, after 2 years there, I decided I was better off living at home. Yeah. Multiple times. So, he grows up, goes to college. It's funny because in this, the way this interview was translated, and this is one of the better translations I could find, early on, like this 8 seconds here, he talks about how his training was, he was training to be a psychopath. And I'm going, a psychopath? But it's lost in the translation. He was training to be a psychiatrist or maybe a psychologist. But it is translated psychopath. But anyway, he learns how human behavior is. Then he gets into banking and he gets into monetary exchange. Remember the money changers that were in the temple, right? He gets into monetary exchange and he starts making big bucks. And he said, I used psychology, and he talks about this in the interview. He said he used psychology and the things that he learned to be able to corral people like sheep into where he wanted them, and then he made money off of them. Now, for those of you who think that you never get deceived, you never get lied to, I'm not like the sheeple that are out there. What did Isaiah 53 tell us all? All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us get lied about or get lied to. All of us end up believing something that isn't true. All of us do. So just because you spend hours researching, which means you watched a lot of YouTube videos, which means you didn't research anything. Somebody else did it for you. Okay? Just because you spend hours researching doesn't mean that you can't believe something that's bogus and phony. If this stuff wasn't in the Bible, and I'm going to read you the scriptures here in a little bit, I wouldn't touch it, wouldn't talk about it, okay? But here's what this guy said. He said, in fact, I'll just start playing it.
Ik brak door. En het ergste wat mij overkomen was, dat was omdat ik zo zo'n goed aanzien had, zo succesvol was en zo vertrouwd was met mensen in deze wereld die dus op dat niveau speelde. Ik moet ook zeggen dat de meeste van deze mensen hadden een geloof.
Let me stop right here. I'm going to explain some of this as we go along. Now he's talking about the people that he grouped with. You know, you can't be an island in this life and make a lot of money. You have to network with people. Now we're talking about bankers. And remember, Babylon is all about the money. What does our Bible say? The root of all, the root, not a root, like the other Bibles say. The 100% root of all evil. What does our King James Bible say? The love of money is. Not having money, but the love of money. And Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. And he was referring to currency, money, big bucks, the luxuries of this life. You cannot serve both of them. You will either choose God or you'll choose to serve mammon. But you cannot have two masters in this life. Why do guys join the Masonic Lodge? Why do people do that? Some of them are told, you'll always have a job. If you need to borrow money, you'll have it. And you'll have a network of people that can get you out of problems in life. Get you out of jail, basically. And it happens. Trust me, it happens. Okay? I don't want to get into it today, but I'm telling you it happens. And most of that is the love of money. Okay? The love of money. So, here's what he's saying. He ran with a group of people, and he's saying they followed sort of an odd religion. Okay, not a mainstream religion, is what he's saying.
Wat afwijkt van het gemiddelde. Hè? Je hebt katholieken, je hebt protestanten, je hebt allerlei soorten van religies. Deze mensen, de meeste daarvan, hadden een Luciferiaans geloof.
En da, da, da. What he's saying is, what he found out was the people that he networked with were Luciferians. He says, and then you can say religion is a fairy tale, God doesn't exist, and none of that is real. Well, for these people, it is truth and reality. Let me play it.
Dan kan iedereen zeggen, ja, geloof bestaat niet, en God bestaat niet, alles bestaat niet. Nou, voor die mensen was het de waarheid en de werkelijkheid. Hun diende dus iets onstoffelijks. Hun diende wat zij noemden Lucifer. Mm-hmm. En ik kwam dus ook in die kringen. Alleen ik lachte erom, want het waren voor mij gewoon klanten. He, dus ik kwam in wat ze noemden Satanskerken.
Ik wou zeggen, we hebben het nu over het satanisme.
Ja.
Oké. Okay.
Ik kwam dus in Satanskerken, maar ik kwam zeg maar op route, even langs, even buurten, en daar was dan op.
He's saying that they belong to churches of Satan, kerken. Dutch words. The word kerk means church. And he said he's going now, wherever they're holding their meetings, to the church of Satan. These are bankers. These are very powerful, wealthy people that he's running with. And he said to them, 100%, they believed it. They believed this stuff. And he said, he's going to explain now in their holy mass, there's a lot of liquor, you'll hear him say the word drunken, and naked women. And he says, yeah, I'm having fun. I'm a young guy, okay? But this is what they're doing, so he's pleased by this. Something happens.
Op dat moment een heilige mis, hun heilige soorten mis, en dat was met blote vrouwen en wat drank en dit en dat. En ik vond het alleen maar leuk. Ik hechtte weinig of geen geloof aan hun geloof, of ik was er eigenlijk niet eens van overtuigd dat het überhaupt allemaal wel bestond.
Het was meer een schouwspel voor jou.
Ja, ik zag gewoon de donkerte en de slechtheid en de diepte daarvan zit in de mens zelf.
Ja.
Ik koppelde het nog niet zo. Nee. Maar ook die kringen verkeerde ik dus in, omdat dat, ja, als gast zeg maar, omdat ik vond het allemaal wel leuk. Al die blote vrouwen en al die dingetjes die daar speelden. Hè, het was het vrij.
You know what this reminds me of? Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Eyes Wide Shut. Okay? Don't watch it. Don't. But there's a phrase, in vino veritas, and wine is truth. Well, in Hollywood, veritas. In Hollywood, there is truth. There is always going to be a movie that depicts what really happens. Now, the stories, you say, well, they're fiction, that's just make-believe, so on and so on. But I guarantee you, the objective of that particular film, and in a lot of films, is to basically to get in an idea into your mind, subliminally. To project it in there and make it part of the fabric of your reality. Okay? And it's not just the people who go to Star Trek conventions who are affected by movies. Everybody is, to some extent. If you watch them, there is going to be an effect there. Even if you don't watch them, the people around you have, and the way they talk is. So movies are very powerful. Movies, television, YouTube, the internet, Netflix, these things are very powerful, very powerful influences in modern culture. Whereas before, and I preached on this Sunday night about nakedness. Before Hugh Hefner and the Kinsey Report, this nation was doing fairly decent. We didn't need either one of those. But Hugh Hefner comes along, the Kinsey Report comes along, and it basically just destroys the moral binding of our nation. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. And we have lost our self-righteousness. I don't mean that in a bad way. We've lost our ability in this country to be righteous people, a moral people. We are a very adulterous and wicked generation. And that generation is going to seek after a sign, and they're going to get it. So he's enjoying now going to these satanic masses because there's naked women there. And he's networking in with these guys. He's having the good life. He's having the fun. But he's also making these connections. And he's doing this for one reason. Why is he doing this? Is he doing it because there's naked women there? Well, he's in Holland. You can find that in a lot of places in Holland. Including 14-year-olds, because that's legal. Anyway, you can find it. Does he do it for the alcohol? He can go to a lot of places and get alcohol and marijuana in Holland. Why is he doing this? His love of money. Power through money. So here's what he says.
Vrije leven. Maar er kwam een moment, toen werd ik dus uitgenodigd, daarom vertel ik dit ook, om mee te gaan doen aan offers.
Now, this interview is in four parts, about 35 minutes each. He said he spent over 2 days being interviewed by this woman. And the total sum of what he's talking about was not about sacrifice, human sacrifices. The sum of what he's talking about is the fact that there's a small group of elite people in this world who literally control 98% of what happens in this world. They are in control of it. They either allow it or forbid it because they're very powerful. They're not all powerful, and that's something to remember, people. Nobody in this world has the position of God, and nothing in this world happens but what God either allows it or disallows it. Period. The end. There is no argument there. Don't give me this charismatic finistic nonsense that God lost his authority over this world when Adam sinned. That's a lie. God's always in charge. He always has been, is now, and always will be. If it happens, God allowed it, and God allowed it for a greater reason. So the sum of this interview is not dealing with the human sacrifice that he's fixing to talk about. Because he's fixing to tell you what they were sacrificing. And you'll be able to see it in his reaction to what he's saying. That I don't think he's lying. In fact, I know biblically he's not lying. But he includes this little part of it, to show you the darkness of the banking financial elite in this world.
In het buitenland.
Let me back it up a second. I don't want to interrupt the flow of what he's saying. I want you to follow it.
Moment, toen werd ik dus uitgenodigd, daarom vertel ik dit ook, om mee te gaan doen aan offers in het buitenland. Dat was het breekpunt.
Kinderen. Oké. Dat werd je gevraagd.
Ja, ik kon het niet.
Wil je even stoppen trouwens?
Of nee.
Oké.
En toen begon ik langzaamaan eigenlijk in te storten. Ik had zelf als kind nogal wat meegemaakt. En dat raakte mij zo. Alles heel. Maar dat is de wereld waar ik uitkom. En toen begon ik dus dingen te weigeren binnen mijn werk. Ik kon het niet meer. En toen werd ik een gevaar.
Voor hen, natuurlijk.
Ik begon niet meer optimaal. Ik begon te rammelen en ik had dingen geweigerd. Ik had niet deelgenomen. Want het gaat erom, uiteindelijk in die wereld, dat ze iedereen ook in hun zak willen hebben. Ze moeten chantabel worden. En het chanteren voor mij was erg moeilijk. Als ik dat allemaal achteraf bekijk.
All right. Now, what he just said was that he ran with a network of people. And out of all the things that he, I mean, I'm sure that probably a majority of the things that Ronald Bernard did as a wealthy money trader was probably immoral, if not illegal. It was ill-got and gain. That's an old phrase people used to say. He was gotten in a wrong way. In an, if it wasn't illegal, it was certainly immoral. Some immoral things are legal. Okay? But he said, out of all the things that he was asked to do and participated in, including scamming people, just scamming whole countries maybe, whatever, and all the money that he made, all of that, I mean, I guess he felt happy doing this. He enjoyed it. He's got wealth, he's got a certain amount of prestige among his peers, and then he starts going to these satanic churches, because that's what they are doing. And there's liquor, and there's drunk women, and they're naked, and all the things that go with that. And then he watches, and he says this in a later interview, a baby, a human baby child, slaughtered on a satanic altar, a human kindred child sacrifice. Das was Breakpoint, he said. Pardon my Dutch. The breaking point. That's where he stopped. Because of his, the way he grew up and the abuse that he suffered as a child, you just don't want anybody to go through that. And he's watching and he's figuring out that the people that he runs with do this. This is not the first time that they've done it. First time he saw it. And they wanted him to eventually participate this. And he says, again, in a later interview, he talks about how they were eventually going to have him sign a blood contract. Literally in his own blood. That's some satanic thing. But anyway, he doesn't do it. But his point in all this is, this was the way to blackmail him and other people. If he, in the eyes of the law, in America, and I'm assuming in Holland, most other civilized nations have a similar law, that if you are driving the car for the bank robbers, you're a bank robber. You're guilty by association. Okay? I've watched enough Live PD to know that if you're in a car, and I've always warned my kids, don't ride around with people that, you don't never know what they could be having in their car. And if you're riding in a vehicle with some guy that's got drugs in the car, and nobody fesses up to it, everybody goes to jail for drug possession. Everybody does, because you were in the car. Period. Guilt, and it's legal. That's guilt by association. So he's guilty now of the murder of this child, because he was there and he didn't call, he didn't report it. He didn't turn him in. And that's a blackmail thing. Because now he will do what they tell him to do for the rest of his life. He will do what they tell him to do. He is owned by these people. And the problem, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems is that there are people who say, okay, I will do what you tell me to do. As long as I can keep the money and the naked women and the drunken, whatever, the drink, the alcohol, as long as I can get the drugs I want, As long as whatever pleases me, as long as I can reach whatever level I want to reach in life, as long as I can have the power, the prestige, the name, the money. I mean, people literally do, even if they don't go to a satanic coven, they sell their souls for rock and roll. You sell your soul to Hollywood, even if you don't end up in Weinstein's couch. You sell your soul. You do what Hollywood tells you to do, and you say what Hollywood tells you to say, and you believe what Hollywood tells you to believe. And if you don't get on the A-list of actors. You don't get that multi-million dollar movie deal. You don't get those leading role parts. You end up being somebody paid to sit and watch Judge Judy in the crowd. Those people are paid to be there, by the way. They're in the Actors Guild, and they get paid to sit there in her courtroom, okay? Because they appear on television. That's what you end up if you don't do what Hollywood tells you to do. You literally sell your soul in circles in this world. And I would say even in Christianity circles, you sell your soul. I know this. Because what I wanted when I was in Bible college, you know, I struggled most of my life with acceptance, with, and I don't know if this is common for everybody, but, you know, I guess one of the reasons why I do humor is I want people to laugh at me, and I guess if they laugh at me, they like me. So I get into college, and I want to be accepted. My first year, I was Mr. Self-Righteous, you know, right-wing conservative in a moderate school. And I wasn't accepted. The second year, I changed. My mom saw it. I changed. Now I'm being accepted. By the time I'm in my second and third year, I'm student body chaplain. I'm now somebody that people like. I'm everybody's friend. And I liked it. And early on, as a young pastor, I wanted to advance in the denomination. I was asked to sing at the state meeting one year. That was a big thing for me because it meant that people were going to see me. I wasn't just sitting in the crowd. I was up on the stage. And I liked that. And I wanted that denominational acceptance. I was going to move up the ladder, get the big church, where I would have the name among the men. And God found a way to literally break the ties that I had with pastors that I idolized, you know, the big name men. And basically, God knew how to work it because they hurt my feelings. These men just tore me up in different ways. And I went, I'll have nothing to do with them for the rest of my life. I don't want anything to do with them. God knew how to do it. God knew how to cut me off from that because he did it. And I'm very thankful for it. So, you know what? I don't get called to go to very many churches anymore. I don't get asked to speak. I don't run with a group of, I don't network with a group of men who say, boy, that Mike Harkin's really something. And a long time ago, that would have really bothered me. And in some ways, it kind of does. But I am who I am. I believe that God is leading me and guiding me in the things that I do and say. So in that sense, I don't answer to a collective who will tell me that they either approve or disapprove. I got my soul back before I lost it forever. And hopefully, now, Ronald Bernard, I've listened to several things just to hear him out. And he has said that he studied other religions, including Christianity, and so he's finding the light. But what that means is he doesn't have a religion. He doesn't believe in one in general. And you pray for the man. I think he needs to be saved. Okay? Now, but he basically admitted that he was participating in human child sacrifices. It goes on in the interview, and I could play the interview for you, but he goes on in the interview to say that he studied religion as well, you know, especially after this, he started studying religion, because he says this is not just something that's done now in modern times. It's not just, this just didn't creep up over the last 20 years. He said this goes back thousands of years. And I can tell you, if you study South American, Aztec, Mayan, Incan, Toltec, Peruvian, Mesoamerican nations, including North American and First Nations in Canada, you're going to find human sacrifice as one of the predominant religious exercises. One of the predominant religious exercises. And I would say including that of kindred, children. The sacrifice of the innocent people. People who have done nothing. And see what it is? It's a mockery. It's a mockery of Jesus Christ, whom the book of Acts called that holy child, Jesus. He was not just innocent at his birth at Bethlehem, but he remained innocent for all of his life. And the devil couldn't wait to have him slaughtered and his blood poured out at Calvary. But he had to wait 33 and a half years. And remember what God told Joseph. Joseph, he's born now. Get up and get to Egypt. Get to Egypt. To save his life, you need to go to Egypt. Because Herod's going to have all the babies killed. And he's looking for yours. He doesn't know who he's looking for yet. So Herod slaughtered anybody 2 years old and younger. Can you imagine? You guys who still have young children, soldiers kicking in your door with a sword in their hand looking for a child that's below the age of two. And to have that soldier kill your child in front of your very eyes. Yeah, well, that happened. That happened twice that I know of in the Bible. The days of Moses and the days of Jesus, and they're both connected. Let me just put some scriptures up on the screen. But anyway, he said this because they did this to him for blackmail. You will do what we tell you to do. You will obey what we tell you to obey. Or we have the goods on you. You were at a child sacrifice. And we'll start naming some names. So that list of 70 people, 90 people, that I read to you a partial portion of, seems to me that those are the people who either didn't mean anything to the people who hold the power at the top, or they didn't play along. They either didn't care about these people who go to jail. They're nothing to us anyway. We don't need them anyway. They either didn't care about them, or these guys didn't play along. One of the two. Let me put... Oh, this is cool. There is a prophecy given in Isaiah 13. And you always look for a double witness, right? Out of the mouth of two witnesses or three, let every word be established. In Isaiah 13, the Bible says that their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. And this is a prophecy against... Oh, wow, this is about the day of the Lord. See, I just saw this before. This is the burden of Babylon. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. What does that tell you? But anyway, you know what? You know where the second witness to this is? Now, this is Isaiah 13:16. The second witness to this is Hosea 13:16. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Same thing. See, the first one is against Babylon. The second one is Samaria. That's the 10 northern tribes. And I was going to say, Ronald Bernard, as a study of religion, said, this is actually in the Old Testament. They actually offered their own kindred, their own children, to Moloch, to their gods. Here, take our babies. So it's one thing. It's one thing when soldiers come in, Roman or whoever, Egyptian or whoever, New World Order, when they come in and kill your child against your will and wishes. It's another thing entirely when you do it yourself. Okay? And you could look at both of these verses and say, abortion. And I have absolutely no doubt that the reason why the abortion industry in this country is such a powerful... You see, Planned Parenthood has been caught multiple times. Because of this organization that secretly films people saying things that they don't want made public. And so they'll record a Planned Parenthood official saying, yeah, we sell the body parts all the time. We make big money off of this. So we get in government money to kill the babies, and then we sell the body parts to laboratories all around the world, and we get paid, you know, it's a double dip for killing a child. An unborn child is a very precious commodity in this world. Now, why is it that their form of murder seems to have more political power than everybody else's? It's because I believe it is related to the child sacrifice issue and offering up to the gods. The gods demand the sacrifice of an innocent victim for some reason. I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know the answer to that one. What is it that empowers devils? What is it about the sacrifice of a child that gives devils more power than what they originally had? I don't quite get that yet. But there's something to it. Leviticus 18:21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed. Let me put this up on the screen. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed. You know what that is? I don't know who that is. Probably the same people that called me a while ago. I'm getting these scam calls every day. They're telling me that my Social Security number is at risk for fraud, and I should need to immediately contact these people because they'll cancel my Social Security number. That's not even possible. Anyway, Leviticus 18:21. Let me put that up on the screen for you. They came out on the news the other day, local news. I need to contact the Missouri State Attorney General's office because they made people aware that there was a scandal involving phones and your Social Security number. Anyway, God said, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. So number one, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Notice what he equated it to. Let your seed pass into Molech. The sacrifice of children to Molech was a real issue. In fact, I don't have this in my notes here. Just type this in, pass through the fire. 11 times. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Thou shalt not be found among you. This is the 9 forbidden practices in Deuteronomy 18. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination or observer of times or enchanter or a witch. They're all equal in God's eyes. Witchcraft is something God said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So guess what happens to someone who sacrifices their own child? You know what this, and I will say this, you know what abortion on the surface is about? Benefiting the person who kills the baby. Why would you not want to give birth to a child, whether legitimate through marriage or illegitimate? Why would you not want to give birth to that child? I mean, we're talking about a human soul here. And if you don't believe that, and you're nuts, there's something wrong with your head. You don't believe the Bible is your problem. God tells us, God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. So don't give me this nonsense that life starts at birth. Well, apparently that, not even that matters to an abortion mill, because we're even debating the subject. I cannot believe this. We're debating the subject in this country of whether or not abortion mills can be held criminally liable for killing the child if it's mistakenly born. If it's mistakenly born and it starts breathing and crying, the abortion doctor, who's so brutish in his mind, he's such a beast in his mind, that he can't think. This obviously is a child that was meant to live. It's crying, it's screaming, it's wanting help. Kill it. You know what a male lion will do? If a male lion, if he's got the strength, if he wants to take over another lion's pride, you know what that is? His den of lions, his female lions and their cubs. If he wants to take over another dominant male's pride, he kills the male. He then goes to the female lions, find out if they have any cubs. If they have cubs, he kills them. And in some cases, eats them. True. The male lion says, I'm not going to have any of that lion's seed. I'm not going to raise another lion's kids. I'm not going to do it. In fact, I don't want their bloodline to exist any longer. So not only will he kill the dominant male and any challenger, he will then kill the cubs. And this is a 100% thing. It's not just, this happens in 40% of cases. No, this is their nature. He will kill any existing cubs of that male lion, and in some cases, eat them. Then those female lions are his, and he will breed through them. Boy, there's just something about that that just rings true. Remember Manasseh? He walked away in the kings of Israel and made his son pass through the fire. I don't know if that's talking about Manasseh. I know 2 Chronicles is. He caused his children to pass through fire, the valley of the son of Hinnom. That's Gehenna. That's where the word, it's one of the places in the Hebrew Bible, Gehenna, which is referring to hell. The valley of Hinnom was called Gehenna, and it's one of the words used that's translated hell in the King James. Defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. He made his son pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That is the best way to put it, God. 2 Kings 17:17. They sold themselves. And you can too. Jeremiah 31:15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. And that was partially prophesying about what had happened in the days when Christ was born. Remember, Matthew brought up that prophecy. That was in Jeremiah 31. There's other things now in Jeremiah 31 that haven't happened yet. So it's a double fulfillment prophecy. Means it hasn't, just like the prophecy of Pentecost and Joel too. Not all of that has happened. It's going to again. And this prophecy is going to happen again. Leviticus 20. Let me turn there. Child abuse of any kind, abortion, child trafficking, making merchandise of human children for whatever reason. You know, in some cases, they're not molested. They're just killed and sold for body parts. Organ transplants. How many organ recipients in this world were the recipient of a sacrificed child? Now, that would be a horrible thing, and I don't think I'd ever want to know it. But it happens. The aborted fetuses, their body parts sold to science. Some of them, I have verified this, some of their cells were extracted. Now, when you hear people online talk about that in vaccines, they use aborted fetuses. It is a partial truth. They want you to think that a child had to die for your particular shot. Again, that also is a partial truth. But if there are, let's say, 1 million people who get a shot, they didn't kill 1 million babies to make those 1 million shots. There is a fetal cell line that has been in use in research and development of certain medicines and vaccines. Cell lines that did come from an aborted fetus 40 years ago. And I'm not making light of that. I'm telling you what is true. A child was aborted, and their cells divide and make more cells. So there is a fetal cell line that came from an aborted child. That is currently, to this day, how long ago was 1974, 75, somewhere around in there? That's been almost 50 years. So, upwards of 45 years ago, an aborted fetus, some of their stem cells were taken and used in research, and that same cell line has been in use in research development of medicines and vaccines ever since then, including to this date. Okay, now, because I was vaccinated as a child and received vaccinations to go to Kenya, is God going to send me to hell because I was vaccinated? No. It was done in ignorance. I didn't know. I've received vaccines in my life. Okay? But now that I know it, then I have to ask myself the question, do I want to, and see, that's the point of abortion. You personally benefit by the killing of a child. Personally. That's why you abort the child, is for your personal benefit. So you can continue to go to school, or that so you can continue to work, or that you can your family won't find out and it benefits you, or you don't like the guy, that benefits you. It's all about you when you abort the child. You. I mean, I know a situation where they just didn't want everybody to find out, so they killed the baby. And that's happened probably millions of times. Does God forgive the sin of murder? Absolutely. But everything leaves a scar, people. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel. This applied See, it's in the jurisdiction of the land geography that you're standing on. You're under that law. Whoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. God took it very, very seriously. He did. Now, like I said, this has been going on for thousands of years, and it continues to this day. The sacrifice of children. And I mentioned on the Wiener laptop that there is an allegation. There was something that they saw, that the police saw, that was so absolutely disturbing that they vomited. And this is not just a internet rumor. General Michael Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, made a speech on this, and she said she was made aware of the contents of that hard drive. And she said hardened police officers, they vomited. At least 8 of them that we know of have quote-unquote committed suicide. 8 police officers who saw the contents of the Anthony Weiner laptop are dead now, having committed suicide. And allegedly, a copy of this video showed up on the dark net. I don't see how anything can get scrubbed once it's on the internet. Somebody's got it somewhere. I don't want to see it. But it allegedly shows the torture and the mutilation of a 9-year-old girl while a certain presidential candidate, former presidential candidate, in their view, in their presence. Do I doubt it? I can't prove it. Can't prove it. But you take the sum of the evidence that you hear. Does it happen? Yes. We know it happens. And the reasons why it happened, it makes sense. See, you have to have motive, and the motive makes sense. This gives people power, plus it blackmails other people. That makes sense. Then, is it seen in Scripture? Absolutely. God hates it. So, the sacrifice of children, the harming of children, and I'm going to say this, it's a tough statement, but you can abuse a child without ever laying a finger on them. You can abuse a child without ever hitting them or in some other way hurting them. You can abuse a child by your attitude towards them. Children are making connections in their brain about how the world operates. And a child that is loved is a child that will form the right opinions, for the most part, about how this world operates. A child that is loved enough to be restrained, I'll say it that way. A child that is loved enough to be, in a loving manner, restrained from things in this world will develop right attitudes about how the world operates and how they can get through this life. But a child hated, especially by one of his own or her own parents, is a child that will never be right. It will take the grace of God to fix the damage that was done to that child. And that grace can be manifested in a person. I've seen it happen multiple times. Seen it happen. The trafficking of children. either as slaves, so that you can have a new phone, or so that your cosmetics will look better, or your perfume will smell better, or for any number of medical reasons, including transfer of organs. Now, if the child died of a natural or whatever accidental injurious death, I can see that. That's not wrong, necessarily. But to just harvest a child like you would an apple tree, it's just immoral. To traffic a child for whatever purpose is not only immoral and illegal in most countries. God hates it. God absolutely hates it. And again, yeah, I do believe God forgives all sins. And again, it's very possible that somebody hearing my voice today may have participated in things of that nature. There can be forgiveness with God, but you may never forgive yourself. Understand that. Think Bible.